Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'll be preaching from the book of Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1, beginning at verse 6. And I want to talk to you about the gospel I preach. The gospel I preach. And what I want to do is try to, in the simplest way that I know how, not only preach the true gospel, but do my best to expose false gospels. And that's a biblical thing. That's a biblical command that the Lord gives to His preachers. I've heard people say, some men say, well, I don't want to preach the negative. I just want to preach the positive. Well, you know, I wish that everything that I could say would be nothing but positive good news. But we have in the Scripture mandates, commandments from God to expose the false, and especially in these last days when there are so many perversions of the gospel. Now, you know, the word gospel means good news. Well, those perversions didn't start yesterday. They began back when the New Testament church was initially being founded and originated beginning there in the book of Acts and going on through to the epistles. And Paul in the book of Galatians here, he was inspired by the Spirit to write about this. And what happened in the churches of Galatia, which Paul had been used of God to plant, false preachers, mainly in Galatia, they were unbelieving Jews who claimed to be Christian, who claimed to preach Christ, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and who claimed to believe the grace of God, that salvation was by grace. They had crept in, they criticized Paul, they rejected Paul, and they brought in damnable heresies, false ideas, false doctrines that they that was to infiltrate the true gospel and bring the people to their way of thinking, which was a way of salvation, some way by works. And some of the Galatians were listening to these false preachers, and Paul wrote Galatians, the letter, to recover them. Now, Paul had preached the true gospel. And so it's important, first of all, that we understand what the true gospel is. Over in the book of Romans, chapter 1, and verse 16 and 17, the verse I quote so often on this program, where Paul wrote, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. In other words, this gospel is, the word gospel means good news. And this gospel is a message of a person. And the person is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is none other than God manifest in the flesh. And that's a doctrine of the good news or the gospel. Those who preach Christ in any other way, who claim to preach Christ, but preach Him in any other way other than the Word made flesh, God in human flesh without sin. He's very God of very God. Every bit of God, He's the second person of the Trinity. Son of God, by nature God, co-equal with the Father and the Spirit in every attribute of His nature as deity. But He's also a man. He had a human body and soul created for Him in the womb of the Virgin Mary, created for Him by the Holy Spirit, born in that miraculous conception and miraculous birth. And He was made flesh without sin. The Word was made flesh and dwelt or tabernacled among us. So that's who Jesus Christ is. Paul spoke of that in Romans chapter 1 before verse 16. He said, that Christ, that Jesus, this gospel concerns Christ, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. That is, his nationality in his humanity was a Jew from the tribe of Judah, born of the seed of David. That's his humanity, his sinless humanity. And that he was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. So the gospel is the good news of a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That's who he is. That's why we worship him. We're not to worship anyone who is not God. Those who claim that Christ was just a good man or a good prophet, and then claim that they believe in him and rest in him and worship him, that's idolatry if he's not God. But he is God. He's God manifest in the flesh. So Paul wrote in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That gospel, this good news, is the power of God unto salvation. It's the ability of God, the dynamite of God, unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek or the Gentile also. And then in verse 17, he says, for therein, in that gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith, that is from knowledge revealed, to faith, that is knowledge received, God-given faith, believing, as it is written, the just or the justified shall live by faith. So the gospel speaks of God who justifies people, sinners, his people, based upon the righteousness of God, which is the entire merit, value, and worthiness of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ as the surety, the substitute, and the redeemer of God's chosen people, given to him before the foundation of the world. That's the gospel. And so when Paul writes here in Galatians 1, listen to what he says. That's the gospel that Paul preached to the Galatians. And God brought many of them to faith in Christ. He preached salvation by God's grace based upon the merits of the obedience unto death of the Lord Jesus Christ as the substitute and as the surety, substitute and redeemer of his people. And he says in verse 6, now this is Galatians 1:6. He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Another gospel. Now some of them were following these false preachers. Some of them were just listening to them. Paul's seeking their recovery. Now understand something at the outset. Anyone who claims to believe the true gospel, not just the false gospel, but if anyone who claims to believe the true gospel, but then leaves that gospel, apostatizes from it, falls away from it, they never believed it to begin with. Now that's what the scripture teaches. Many denominations, many preachers teach that, well, they lost their salvation. No! You cannot lose salvation if you're saved by the grace of God. You are saved by grace, kept by grace, and you will enter glory by grace through Christ. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19 speaks of it. They went out from us. John speaks of those who left the gospel, who denied, claimed at one time to believe it and then denied it. And John says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For had they been of us, they would have no doubt remained with us, but they went out from us that they might be manifested that they were not of us. So anyone who leaves it and completely turns against it, they never believed it. Understand that. They didn't lose salvation. But now, believers, true believers, the elect of God, those who are justified. Remember he said, the just shall live by faith. What is it to be justified? It's to be forgiven of all my sins based on a just ground. That's what it is to be justified. To be forgiven of all my sins based on a just ground. And what is that just ground? It's the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the ground of forgiveness. And to be justified is to be declared righteous in God's sight based on a just ground. And what is that just ground that I'm declared righteous in God's sight? The imputed righteousness of Christ. In other words, the merit, the righteousness of God, the merits of His obedience unto death, charged to my account. My sins charged to His account. My sin debt put on His account. His righteousness charged to my account. And that's what the gospel teaches. Well, Paul says, I'm amazed, verse 6, that you're so soon. In other words, Paul must have been there early on, and then he left. And then very soon after that, these false preachers came in. And he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. And then look at verse 7. He says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. My friend, there are so many perversions of the gospel. It's a sad day. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He prophesied of this to His disciples. He said, in the last days, as we come to the end of the New Testament age, as we approach the time of His second coming, and we don't know when He's coming. I believe it's going to be soon. I don't know if it'll be in my lifetime or not. But He's coming, and we're getting nearer that time. And as we get nearer that time of His second coming, He said there would be more and more perversions of the gospel. There'd be more and more false churches, false Christianity. Satan would be sowing his tares. He'd be loose to deceive the nations, He said. And he'd be sowing his tares. What are those tares? False believers, false churches, who claim to be Christian, but who deny the doctrine of Christ, the teachings of Christ, mainly the teachings of His person, the glory of His person, and the power of His finished work, that righteousness that He brought out, His shed blood. And they'd be teaching false doctrines like Christ's blood, Christ died for everybody, now the rest is up to you, things like that. And I'll show you that in just a moment. But it's interesting here, he talks about another gospel. You know, in the New Testament Greek language, there were two different words for the word another. One meant another of the same kind. We find that in John chapter 14, I believe it's verse 16, when Christ talked about how when He goes away, the Lord would send another comforter, the Holy Spirit. That word means another of the same kind, of the same nature of Christ. But here the word another is a different word. It means another of a different kind. It's not even like the same thing. It's of a different kind. And he calls it a perversion of the gospel of Christ. And in verse 8, now this is a very important verse. He says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Those who preach this other gospel, this perversion, it doesn't matter if it's an angel from heaven. You know who Satan is. He's a fallen angel from heaven. But if he's saying this, but if though we, he said, Paul, if Paul came along and preached any other gospel than that he had already preached, if an angel from heaven, don't judge these by appearance or by reputation. You see, put that out of the way. If they're preaching another gospel, they're accursed. And he says in verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. So this is a perversion of the gospel. Now, when I read passages like that, I'll often take self-inventory. What do I preach? Am I preaching the true gospel, which is the gospel of Christ, Do I tell people who Christ truly is? Or am I telling him something that's not scriptural? Well, I can prove from Scripture, and I've already done that, that Christ, who Christ is, he's God, man. Perfect God, perfect man. That's an amazing truth. I cannot explain that. He's one person, but with two natures that are united, not mixed. You can't mix a deity and humanity, but they're combined, they're united in the one person of Christ. And he's now, as God-man, sitting at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for his people. They must be saved and they cannot be lost. And how do you know who his people are? They respond by God-given faith to the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the cross. The preaching of the gospel, listen, it's preaching the cross. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ. What is the preaching of the cross? It's not the preaching of a piece of wood or a symbol. It's the preaching of the finished work, the successful finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That ends in the salvation of every sinner for whom he died on that cross. What did he do on the cross? He put away my sins. What did he do on the cross? He paid my debt. What did he do on the cross? He worked out a perfect righteousness by which God could be just to justify sinners like me. And how do I know that he did it for me? Well, in the process of time, God brought me under the preaching of the true gospel, and by the power of the Spirit, he gave me life from the dead. That's called regeneration. It's called the new birth. I've been born again by the Spirit. How do I know I've been born again by the Spirit? I believe the true gospel. Now, if you believe a false gospel, that's no evidence of being born again of the Spirit. That's an evidence of not having been born again. Well, let me give you a couple of points to look for. When you many of you who claim to believe the gospel, you claim that you're going to a church where the true gospel, not another gospel, but the true gospel is preached. And let me give you a couple of points that I believe you need to look for. And these are common to all false gospels. Now, I could talk about individual false gospels. There's many in many places all over this world. But I think here are two points that are very common, to all false gospels. And here's the first point. A false gospel. Well, let me start this way. Let me start with the positive. The gospel is good news. All right? The true gospel reveals that all of salvation, was and is conditioned on the Lord Jesus Christ, who by himself, as the surety, the substitute, and the redeemer of his people, fulfilled those conditions, all those conditions, to ensure their complete salvation unto glory. Now, that's what the true gospel does. Did you hear what I said now? It teaches that all the salvation of God's people, people who are sinners, who cannot save themselves, who cannot meet any conditions because they're spiritually dead in trespasses, totally depraved, fallen in Adam, ruined by the fall, you who were dead in trespasses and sins. The true gospel preaches that all of their salvation was conditioned on one person, the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ as my surety. What does that mean? That means my sin debt was placed to his account. He's my surety. And my substitute, he took my place under the wrath and the law of God and fulfilled its conditions, its requirements, and redeemer. He's my surety, my substitute, my redeemer. He paid the price in full. And he secured my salvation, even my new birth, even the faith that I believe with is a gift from God because Christ died. So now, on the other hand, another gospel of the different kind, all the false gospels, they teach and preach salvation in some way, at some point, to some degree, conditioned on the sinner. Now, that's what I'm telling you. Now, people say, well, now, don't we have to believe and repent? Yes, but those are not conditions that we must meet in our own power and will in order to attain and maintain salvation. Those are gifts from God that reveal and evidence salvation. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. That's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith in God is the gift of God. It's the work of His power through the Holy Spirit in us. It's not the product of our good, any spark of goodness that we have. It's not the product of our free will choice. It's the gift of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned. And the Bible teaches that. All of salvation, including the new birth, including faith in Christ, including repentance of dead works, including perseverance in the faith, those are the gifts of God. Those aren't conditions that sinners must meet in order to make the work of Christ effectual. The gospel does not teach that Christ died for everybody without exception, even for those who perish in eternal damnation because they didn't meet certain conditions. If salvation is conditioned on me or you, we're doomed. But the gospel teaches all of salvation conditioned on Christ. But false gospels will always teach salvation in some way, to some degree, at some stage, conditioned on sinners. And those conditions vary with different denominations. Some say it's conditioned on your baptism. Some say it's conditioned on your faith. Some say it's conditioned on repentance. Some say it's conditioned on obedience. All of that. That's a false gospel. All of salvation conditioned on Christ, who by Himself as my surety, substitute, and redeemer fulfilled those conditions. He is the Lord my righteousness. Now here's the second point that we're going to talk about that is common to all false gospels. The true gospel is the revelation of the perfect righteousness of God, which is the righteousness of Christ imputed to His people, which is the perfection of the law, satisfaction to the law, a propitiation, as it were, that can only be found in Christ. And that's it. He is the Lord my righteousness. Now, false gospels teach that righteousness and holiness essentially are on a sliding scale. Like there are degrees of righteousness, degrees of holiness. You see, in the Bible, righteousness is not found in human morality or human religion or in any way human effort. In the Bible, righteousness, which is the perfection, now understand, the perfection of the law, the perfection of God's justice, that can only be found in Christ. Nowhere else. Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now the believing is not my righteousness. My believing is not my righteousness. My repenting is not my righteousness. Christ is. And God-given faith comes from Him that I might reach out and lay hold of Him, as it were. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. How does that happen? With the heart. That's the new heart given by God in the new birth. With the mind, the affections, the will, believing, man believes Christ. Christ is my righteousness. Acts 17:31 says that God is going to judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, in that he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And here's what I know. If I look within myself, I find no righteousness. If I try to be a better person, which I should do, but that's not going to make me righteous. For by deeds of law shall no flesh be justified, declared righteous in God's sight. I have one righteousness to declare, to plead before God. And that's the imputed righteousness of Christ. Christ's righteousness accounted to me, reckoned to me, charged to me. Paul said it in Philippians chapter 3. He said, that I may know him and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith or the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God, which is by faith. The righteousness is what Christ did in his faithfulness to do what he promised to do, and that is to keep the law and die for the sins of his people. The righteousness of faith is the righteousness we receive by God-given faith when we receive Christ. There is no sliding scale. People in false gospels and false religion, they talk about how, you know, they're getting less sinful and more righteous. Well, my friend, do you know what the definition in the scripture of sin is? Sin is falling short of the glory of God. Romans 3 tells us that, 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, what is the glory of God? The glory of God is the person and work of Christ. And even as a believer, even as a child of God, I fall short of him. And so what does that mean? That means I must continually look to him and him alone for righteousness. I must continually look to Christ and to Christ alone for salvation, fulfillment, for glory, for all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. It's all Christ. Follow, believe in him, rest in him, and follow him. I hope this message has helped you, and I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.